the date of the meeting.
Yeah, I mean, and also the date.
Just say, send the road report.
Okay, the,
What's that one?
The date is May 2nd, it's 2:47, and we are going to call the Board of Equalization to order, and I'd like for all of us to stand and say the flag, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, a current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the county boardroom, and this review is for all citizens in attendance. Will you call roll, please, Joan?
Scott Love.
Yes.
Janet Gale. Larry Elvinicius.
Here.
Troy Lonsby.
Here.
Robert Giese.
Here.
Okay, number one is the consent agenda items. I got A, approval of the previous minutes for April 4th of 2022.
I'll make a motion to approve those minutes.
Okay, we got Janet, a motion, and then we got Troy as a second. Will you call roll, please?
Janet.
Yes.
Larry.
Yes.
Troy.
Yes.
Robert.
Yes.
Okay, new business. We have A, we have a hearing for Heartland Counseling Services. Looking for exemption on motor vehicle tax by qualifying nonprofit organization. They have a 2011 Buick. The last six of the VIN is 124954. And the second vehicle is a 2016 Dodge Caravan. The last six of the VIN is 343376. The vehicles are used to provide community support services, crisis response, clients who have mental health, substance abuse, there to improve the quality of life and decrease the risk of institutional or hospital admissions. This recommendation and approval by Don Bosquet. Don?
Yeah.
We got a couple of these up here, so.
I agree.
You agree? I mean, everything falls. And then it basically just says the board to consider the recommendation of the county treasurer and any other information may obtain and shall approve or deny the exemption of the basis of law and rules of the regulations adopted, so, of the tax commission. So, I mean, it's, I think it's pretty much a formality, obviously, that.
Is anyone here from Heartland Counseling?
I don't think there's anyone from Heartland.
No, there's nobody here.
Okay. How come there's only, it looks like there's only one of those vehicles on this form?
There's nine. Or you have two. There's two. You should have two sheets. Like that.
I thought this was for a different organization.
Well,
maybe not.
Well, it's a Dodge and a Chevy. Well, here's a Equinox.
I guess that's
The Equinox is on the next, is on the, is on B.
What about the Buick Lucerne?
Yeah, the application for exemption.
I got it here. This one says Buick Lucerne, and this one says Dodge Caravan.
Okay, so we don't have.
Oh, okay. We just, yeah. Did I copy them back to back or not?
I don't know.
Just the
sorry.
One.
Okay. But there, okay. Same form, though.
Yes.
Okay. Just got to make sure they got it. Proves they wouldn't get a tax notice on it. Yep. I'll make a motion to waive for the charitable organization, the two vehicles for the charitable organization of Heartland Counseling.
Okay. We got a motion by Janet, a second by Larry on the. The two the vehicles, the 2016 Dodge and the 2011 Buick. Call roll, please, Joan.
Larry.
Yes.
Troy.
Yes.
Robert.
Yes.
Scott.
Yes.
Janet.
Yes.
Okay, same formality. This is a hearing from the Siouxland Community Health Center. Exemption on a motor vehicle taxes by qualifying nonprofit organization. It's a 2022 Chevrolet Equinox. The last six of the VIN is 101029. It's a vehicle is for delivery of prescription medications to patients, and basically, again, the board to consider the recommendation of the county treasurer and any other information that obtains for the laws and rules and regulations adopted by the tax commission. So we get the same thing. We got the paperwork in front of us. Siouxland Community Health with the 2022 Equinox.
I have a question. Did we have a question about the charitable status of... No, okay. I remember something about it.
Yeah, they applied for permissive exemption.
Okay.
Because they finally got it in their name this year.
Okay, because there was last year we...
They hadn't changed it
okay.
yet.
Okay. Yep. All right. Good memory, Jan.
Yeah. I'll move to approve.
Okay, I got a motion by Bob on the 2022 Equinox.
I can second that.
And a second from Janet. Will you call roll, please, Joan?
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to move on to C. Christy, requesting approval and clerical errors and tax list corrections. Looks like you got...
Three for the, well, two omitted and one clerical error for the new values that are going out. Jeff Donnelly had a property up in the hills in Homer, and our guys tried to get there last winter and could not get up there. So we kind of did aerial photos, measured it out. We went back and had a new flyover this past winter and found some more stuff that he didn't report. So that's the first two.
I don't
omitted
have
property.
For I don't
Donnelly.
Have those.
Is she?
I don't have that.
It's on the V-Drip.
I wasn't aware that it was on the V-Drip.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. That's all right.
We have the other two, but we don't
the
have...
The other two? Oh, okay.
I have the two mobile homes, but I don't have...
Okay. Well, do you want me to make a copy of that quick, Joan?
I do have clerical errors and tax list corrections on the agenda, so yeah, they can take action on
okay.
them.
Okay, on these two. Okay,
why
I can make a copy.
Do the motor homes and then.
The mobile homes? Oh, okay.
I did not know you had
either. I should have said something too. Okay, so the tax list corrections, the 9939 is the mobile home was being moved out of the court and torn down. The 9940. He neglected to go over to the treasurer's office and pay up the taxes after we accelerated them, so maybe Randy can get a hold of Mr. Zhang Li, because he was supposed to pay those up before he could have that torn down, because he said he was tearing it down.
So he tore it down and then paid the taxes?
He was supposed to do it the same day, and we can only accelerate them when they come in and tell us, and he acted like he was going over to the treasurer's, and he did not go and pay them. So.
Okay, so tell us about the other one.
Another trailer that got torn down. He actually came in, paid up the taxes, and did what he was supposed to do.
And these are both out in...
Siouxland Estates.
Okay.
Yeah. And the Zhang Li is actually, he bought another trailer in the court, so wouldn't be too hard to find him.
So even though it says it's paid up to date...
Yeah, he never did.
Is what you're
yeah.
saying.
Yeah.
So can we approve that it's paid up? Or, I mean, what
I would wait on that one.
That one?
Yeah.
So we know that it's
he
clear.
Did not pay it up.
Okay.
Yep. You can have it.
This one didn't pay up.
The 9940.
So we can't approve that until we.
Yeah, I would wait
it.
On that one.
I don't see a 99.
Steph just
cut
informed me of that last
that
week.
That
I think.
One. That one.
Yeah, he didn't.
So, but 39 is okay.
Yeah, the 9939 is okay.
Okay, so let's go back to Donnelly.
Okay, Donnelly. So up in the hills in Homer, he has a hunting cabin and a trailer and some other stuff, and never had any permits for this stuff. Or we couldn't. Okay, what permits he did have, we could not get up in there because it's out in the sticks. So when Daryl was here doing our rural review, not this winter, but the other next last winter, they couldn't get up there. So we did it off of aerial photos. Looked at our new aerial photos we just had ran, and there's more stuff up there and changes that he never said he was making. So those are those two corrections. And the 196,400 was, we just did a computer conversion, and we had condition and quality changed on that house, and it didn't come over to the new computer system.
So all of them have increases in their valuations
yeah.
due to improvements.
Yep.
So would they, have they been notified of this, or will this will...
No, this will go out.
This will bring it to notification.
Yep. It'll go out when their advanced change of value notices go out here in a few weeks.
So who was it that caught that this year then? Was
we
that
did.
Aerial?
We were just looking at aerial, new aerial photos. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any questions for Christy before we make a motion and move on?
No. I'll move to approve on the tax roll corrections and also 99-39, but not 40.
Yeah, I'd wait on that one.
Okay.
We got a motion by Bob on the 3, the 4, except the 99-40.
Yeah.
Okay, we got a second by Larry. Can we call roll, please, Joan?
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Mel, or emergency business? Anything? Anybody from the public would like to respond to anything? Next one. On the Board of Commissioners.
Next one.
Yes. But somebody has to give me a public comment just for a minute so we can go right into our next meeting. So somebody just say something. I don't care what they want to say. Just say something. Don, do you have anything to say?
You have to sign stuff.
Okay. All right. I got to sign stuff anyways. Okay. We are adjourned for the Board of Equalization.
259.
Okay. There you go. Trying to do it.
Here. Yeah, 39.
99-40, 40 is the one that's getting out.
Right.
Okay. So. 3 o'clock.
By golly. I'll call the Dakota County Board of Commissioners meeting to order. We've already done the pledge, so we'll go right to roll call, Joan.
Robert Gacy?
Here.
Scott Love?
Yes.
Janet Gill?
Here.
Larry Albanesius?
Here.
Troy Lonsby?
Here.
A current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the county boardroom and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. The first item on the agenda is the public comment. The Board of Commissioners will hear comments about any item not on the agenda. The chair has the discretion to limit the time.
I'm Trudy Jepson from Hubbard, Nebraska. Thank you for serving on the board, by the way. I'm just here to vocalize my support for a project of paving M Avenue. I have heard that you are planning to do a project for each of the communities, which I think is wonderful. So I'd like to address the one for Hubbard. And I was wondering if M Avenue is still in place. It's very big in need. It's a dangerous hill. And campers have been out there and they will not come back because the road is so poor. And I believe that the campers, keeping them in Dakota County, will generate revenue for Dakota County. So we need to get them as much as we can and help the games and parks grow to bring more to the economy. If they stay in the county camping, they'll buy their gas here. They'll buy food here. They'll spend money at the mini mart, their sales tax, the gas that they buy. By not leaving our county, puts money towards our roads. So I think that is all, the more we can get, the more it will grow. And so I feel very strongly that M Avenue needs to be paved. The village of Hubbard, I understand, is still working on paving from the highway to the edge of the city limits. And I think if you could, just like when they did Cramper Lake, you all have, now this is from 2009, so it's old, but on the back was some really good information on how all the entities came together to make this project happen. NRD alone could not have done that by themselves. It takes all of these entities and people to push for it. So I would like to see you work with the Village of Hubbard, the State of Nebraska Department of Roads. I would love to see that become a spur. They have that spur to Ponca State Park. And if they did that, then there would be access to a little more funding. Now, nobody has money, so I mean, I don't.
Well, I
don't
think I'm
misunderstanding
I think,
this. But
I think this is what happens. People, they think they have the money, but I think they do like a 3-year plan is what they do. Because I remember sitting down years ago about M Avenue on a roundtable discussion with a lot of different entities, and it was like
everybody drags their feet.
Yes.
So you guys will have to be the steering wheel. You will have to push and push and make these committees know that you're not going away, that we really feel strongly about this, and they will eventually find it.
Knowing what you know with Hubbard, and I think that they're pretty financially set, stable, whatever you want to say, but the question is are they really intrigued, or can they get their board to be able to pay that part?
I don't know the details on that, but I know that it is on their agenda. They are still working on it, and that will be the first one that they pave. They wanted to go north and south, and south would be M Avenue.
Yeah.
And then they have plans for other roads down the years ahead, but the south M Avenue and north M Avenue are the two that they are working on, and they're getting numbers from and have been working on for a year.
Well, I knew they'd been working on it for a long time, and I think that there's some of their constituents on their board, I don't think they want to spend the money there, kind of the way that I took it, and I don't know.
And I haven't been to a meeting in a while. I've been out of town, but
that's
another step in my process. I'm just getting back in the saddle here. So.
Yes, ma'am. I understand.
Trudy, just for your information, we have had discussions with the Village of Hubbard. We've talked to the NRD, and we will talk to the Nebraska Department of Roads going forward. And there seems to be a lot of positive feedback on the project. And I was just wondering if you have anybody with you that knows anything about Cranford Lake that he might want to let
us. And don't forget Games and Parks.
And Games and Parks, yes.
Yes, add that to your repertoire. And yes, this is my dad, Vince Cramper, who just happens to be who they named the lake after.
Is that where that come from? I never put two and two together. That's amazing.
I've only told you 20 times.
No, we know. Vince, we know. Vince, welcome back.
Well, thank you. I've been on many boards in the state and so forth, and it's good to see you, and I appreciate you guys serving on the board because I know it's a lot of work and takes a lot of your time, and you do a lot of good, so keep it up. But the problem here is M Avenue. Now, we've got campers that want to come in. They've got a big camper. They cannot make that hill going up to the entrance. It's too steep. It's gravel on it. And they'll slip out, and then if you got to back down a hill, you know that's pretty hard to do with a camper. So it really needs to be done.
The other danger is when they do go up with all the washboards, sometimes they go on the wrong side of the road because they can get traction, but then the semis that live there coming back and forth, it's going to be an accident someday.
Yeah, there's no question that the road probably should have been done before, in the process, before the lake ever took place, actually.
That's probably true.
But then we'd still be sitting here without a lake.
Well, I know, but it's pretty crucial. Believe me, I get it, because there is a lot of money.
And I don't know what's first, the carts or the horse. You know, you have to do something.
Yeah, I understand.
Baby steps. So that's what I'm asking, is that I understand you are going to do a project for the Hubbard area, along with the other communities. So I just would like to say that M Avenue should be the one that you are looking at for the Hubbard area.
And if it just comes to the entrance to Cranford Lake, then you wouldn't have to come into it because it's flat from there on.
Right,
it's nice.
Right.
It's just getting over.
Well, and Games and Parks will blacktop the park if they can get it paved or blacktop to the entrance.
To the entrance, yeah.
It's just too bad they didn't take that.
They said that a long time ago.
It's too bad they didn't take that 200 Street. That would have been a much, you know, as an entrance, that would
have
been a lot.
They looked at that when they were making the project, and it was not feasible for some reason. I don't, that was a long time ago. I don't remember all the details.
Then you don't have to take the hill. You can just turn.
But then also, if you're turning, how do you make the hill? Whereas this way, you're coming, and you have the momentum to get up the hill if you continue on straight south.
Well, and you're killing two birds, one stone, because it's a thorn in the county's side of maintaining that road on a regular basis.
I imagine it is. It's got to be a lot of work.
It is.
And it could be money saved by less work on that hill.
Yeah, if you do the math over decades, it would make sense, right?
Yeah.
I think it'd be safer, and I think that you would get more people to Cramper Lake as the trees are growing, they're maturing. It's getting to be a nicer lake every year.
Oh, it's beautiful.
So, and they keep it stocked with fish. I think we need to continue promoting that. Keep the money in our county.
Have you all been on there?
That road is, I would say, if you're right, pulling a boat or a camper, it is a challenge. It is a challenge.
And many people go there to fish because that's one of the better fishing places in the county, and we're very fortunate to have that there. Of course, the dam was built to save the property around there that flooded about every 3 years. You can figure losing all your crop, and this is solving that problem. So it's a very important thing, and it's the closest we got to recreation, is with a nice recreation. We have campers that were there at Dickens of a time and said, we're not coming back here. We're not going to fight that hill anymore. It just scares the daylights out of them. So if it was paved, it would last forever. And starting from the city limits of Hubbard and get to the entrance of the Cramper Lake there, then that's all it would have to be, that be the cemented.
And the lake did do its job that first year that it opened. I don't know if you remember the rains Father's Day. It filled up the lake a lot faster, and it saved all that farm ground below it. So it did its purpose.
Well, we appreciate all your work so far. And as I said, there are discussions with several different entities. Trudy, if you would get me the Nebraska Department of Roads person to contact, I'll do that.
Okay.
And Joan may have it already.
It's still
Don Miguel. Kevin's his first name.
Kevin's the guy in Norfolk. I know talked to the guy in Norfolk about the spurs, and it's a long planning process to get a spur. Yeah. But, I talked to him a couple of years ago about it.
Okay. So we have it.
Just keep pushing.
Thank you.
Just one more thing here. On another subject, but it's with Cramper Lake too. They're going to put rural water up to there. That water is pretty irony, and it's pretty not the best tasting water and everything. But they're figuring on starting in July. Hope to have it done by fall to have the rural water.
So that'll be a huge improvement for the recreation area.
And that's not one we're talking about, but just to let you know that is going to happen there too.
All right.
It must not get advertised very well in Dakota County.
What's that?
The lake. Because I was out there last Sunday, and there was only one 40 County, Nebraska truck boat. And there were several from South Dakota, and the rest were from Iowa.
Hmm.
So we're bringing people from out of county in. That's a good thing.
No, nobody can understand, but they're not going to stay there. I mean, they're there to feast for the day.
It's cold and rainy.
I think it was windy that day.
It wasn't really raining, but I mean, I know guys who go out there with an umbrella and raincoat. I was one of them. Old days. I'm concerned that we can go spend $1 million and we wouldn't have nobody from the county get to use it.
Yeah, you're going to get, you build it, they will come.
Oh, you bet.
You'll get people to come in.
But they weren't there Sunday.
Well, I wasn't there Sunday either.
A lot of people aren't there because they can't make the hill. That's a problem. You're right. We got to. They'll come.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you.
One more question I have for you, too, a different subject here. The railroad. You have the rail, those rails. And then beside it, you have a wooden board, and then It's rough as hell. Terrible. Who's in charge of creating a crossing? 190th Street by me there. It is so rough, you just have to creep over it. Now, it needs to have, just it's about that wide, just needs to have some gravel in there, but I never see the county grader
we'll talk
anymore.
We'll talk to Jolene maybe later in the roads, when we talk about the road department. And maybe we'll address that later.
It's 190th or
198th?
190th. It's not the one.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we'll talk about that in the roads.
Okay.
That's right. Good.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks.
Good
seeing
you.
Thank you.
You as well, Trish.
Okay, Dawn.
I just want to point out one thing as far as M Avenue. I agree with Crampers and Larry. Maybe people from Dakota County weren't there because the road isn't paved, and they don't feel comfortable going there because of what may happen to their car or whatever, and they're going maybe to Bacon Creek or someplace else. So I agree with Crampers regarding the road situation out there. I have some concerns about safety for us employees that work here in the courthouse. I had an incident that happened last month. I had to call the sheriff on twice. We had a customer that had some issues as far as wanting to use a telephone, multiple different things, very angry, very disgruntled, not mainly at us, but we were the brunt end of it. Long story short, she ended up picking up a vase, throwing it under the window, and we're fortunate that Brenda wasn't there because it was over in her direction. I had my gals go back to the vault because you don't know if they have a gun. You don't know what they're going to do. And I do have some concerns about our safety, working with the public. Woodbury County, they do have officers that help protect the employees and the other citizens. And I understand we are looking at getting new cameras, but that only records the situation. It doesn't help prevent the situation from escalating possibly and getting to where it is unsafe. Granted, I've only been in this position a little over a year, but that has been a big concern, and that just was an icing on the cake for me and opened my eyes to possibilities that could possibly happen here. And I don't want anybody or any person, whether it's an employee or somebody that's a customer in our courthouse, to end up in a very terrible situation. And I think it would be nice if we could use some of our COVID money somehow, other than security cameras, to help with that situation.
Thank you.
I used to be in banking, and there were certain places, the teller desk, for instance, had buttons you could push.
We have one, but it doesn't work.
It doesn't work. Oh, I say, because that was pretty, I mean.
I've tried it.
Yeah, that's kind of an indiscreet way to call somebody and get help immediately.
Right.
We should maybe be, if we have them, we should fix them, because
that could be a project Kevin could possibly work on, or somebody, you know what I mean? But
I know, you want to be able to indiscreetly get somebody there quickly.
It was very scary, and I pray it doesn't happen again to somebody, so
thank you.
Do you have a permit to carry?
I do, but you can't in a courthouse.
Maybe you can be an officer.
Oh, boy. No.
We definitely need to get that button looked at, though.
Yeah. That's really a great tool.
Thank you.
It's just right.
Thank you.
Easy.
Good point, Dawn.
Yeah.
Public comment?
Yes.
Sure.
Hi. I'm just going to take a few minutes here today. I am John Keene. I am the Nebraska in-state contractor representing the Navigator CO2 pipeline project. I know later on in today's agenda, you have a representative from the Summit project. It's going to be talking to you a little bit more in detail. I'm the one, you've been getting lots of emails. I've spoken with most of you on the phone a time or two over the past 6 months or so about the economic impact report. We'll have some more further conversations. I know in 2 weeks you'll be having a public hearing on some zoning regulations. And between now and then, we'll be having some great conversations and discussing both what you have proposed before you, as well as what that means for the project and what this exciting project means ultimately for Dakota County. Specifically here in Dakota County, this is a really important project, especially given that one of our partner plants is the Siouxland plant up in Jackson. I want to make sure that you as commissioners know not only what this means in terms of economic development for Dakota County, in terms of real property taxes, personal income, and others, numbers that were included in that economic impact study, but also an opportunity for you to understand for from the agriculture community as well as from the Siouxland plant, exactly what that means in terms of the broader economic picture and future for ethanol and corn production here within Dakota County and in northeast Nebraska. So again, just to allow you to put a face, I've got some hard copies of stuff that you have seen before, but just in case you haven't opened or your printer, you can pass that around. If you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to me with all the contact information that you have. Happy to take anything right now if you have it, but I also know you have a full agenda.
When is the meeting you talked about in a couple of weeks?
On the 16th, you have a public hearing regarding those zoning regulations. So,
ours.
Yes,
ours. Okay,
so
gotcha.
We'll be back then again.
I thought there was another
to weigh
one.
In and all that. But in the meantime, happy to address any questions, technical or otherwise, or will help you as commissioners or county staff get in touch with or have conversations with any of the experts or technical individuals within our team or on our staff that can help you answer questions so you're able to make informed decisions to the best of your ability.
Already.
Yep. Any questions I can answer?
In here it says good paying jobs. What's a good paying job? I hear that all the time, and I don't know if you've ever defined it for me.
Well, you know, the nice thing in the Navigator project, the construction jobs that we'll be looking at, actually we've already signed letters of intent with in-state organized labor here in Nebraska. So we will be using Nebraska union labor, which is some of the better paying construction jobs that are out there. So, you know, everywhere from 60 on up for many of the local jobs that are as part of that union trades. But if you'd like to get an example of exactly what those jobs are coming from, I'll pull that data for you and give you some exact examples of what was used in the model.
I'm just curious. I hear that all the time. Good paying job. I don't know.
It's,
that could be anywhere from 30,000 to 130.
Good paying to you, good paying to him is two different things.
Right. I'm guessing I'll work for a lot less than you will.
You know, I bet you're up to around 500.
You know what? From your mouth to God's ears.
You're a promoter. You're a promoter, you get a commission.
You looking for an application, Larry? Is that what you want?
Yeah, I can give you the union contact if you'd like to know.
I'm a union guy. I don't have to worry about it.
You have on here about $750 in annual property taxes. Who are those being paid by? You estimate those be paid by Heartland or?
Yeah, so that's actually for the infrastructure, the pipe that is in the ground itself. And so that would be, that's a conservative estimate. At this point, we underestimated conservatively. That would be the total property taxes paid within Dakota County. So that includes not only county, but also school property taxes, et cetera. So that's the total property taxes paid to entities within Dakota County.
Can't forget about schools.
Yep, yeah. Can't forget about schools, can't forget about your city. NRD's got a little slice in there. So all those fire district, all your levying authorities were included within that estimate.
All right. Yeah. Okay, build to the...
Yeah, and that is just for in terms of property taxes paid, that's just for the Navigator-owned infrastructure. So
okay.
Navigator is just the common carrier. We're the transport mechanism. So any of the additional structures that are part of, for example, Siouxland's development or any of the partner plants, any of the capture equipment, all that increase in valuation, that is not part of the Navigator pipe stream. So there would be additional economic development and activity that goes along with those individual partner plants as well.
Thank you.
You bet.
All right. Thanks, John.
Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Anybody else in the public comment? Any other comments? No? All right. We will move on to then item 2, the consent agenda, which consists of the approval of the previous meeting of minutes of April 18th, approval of payroll claims. Troy and myself went through those earlier today, and those are all in order, and also approval of the quarterly officials' reports for sheriff and jail.
So moved, yeah. Bob.
Thank you.
Second.
Moved by Scott, seconded by Troy. Call the roll, please.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes. Okay. Item three is under new business is Doug Tondrew. Is Doug here? I didn't see Doug.
I spoke with Janet, Doug's wife, right before the meeting. Unfortunately, Doug is hospitalized right now, unable to make it. So she asked me just to let you know.
Do you want to state your name and
address?
Yeah,
Aaron Voss.
Okay.
I'm out of Ponca.
Okay.
But I'm on the agenda farther down, so she knew I was going to be here in attendance and knew you guys were in session.
Okay.
So she just called and asked me to see if we can either table it or defer it to the next meeting.
We can table it or defer. We'll just move it to the next meeting.
Okay. Very good.
Okay. Okay. Item B is review quotes and award courthouse camera replacement project or appoint committee to review the quotes. So as you all know, and we had mentioned earlier today, so we have three quotes on our cameras in the courthouse. And so I'm not sure how the board would like to proceed with those. The amounts range anywhere from.
Give the name.
Pardon?
You want to give the
name? Sure. So the first bid, I guess we have, is from, and this isn't first, but this is one of them. This is Thompson. Is for an assorted, I think everybody has this copy of these. That bid is $27,321.14. The second one is Aaron Voss, who was just here. His bid is Aaron's is $25,860 on his, and the third one we have is from Quality Telecommunications from Sergeant Bluff, and that is for $23,999.
You know, Chair, this would be my recommendation on that. Yeah, they're all really simple. They're very similar, close, okay? But as far as comparing apples to apples of what they're doing and what they have going on, what I would suggest is one of the board members, and I would be willing to go ahead. I'd love to talk to some of the people in the jail that are maybe a little bit familiar with cameras and how things work. If it's, you know, Tim Decker, if it's Sheriff Kleinberg, or if it's whoever their guru over there is. And maybe even, you know, maybe I could talk to Greg Coyne or something. I'd just like to make sure that as close as these are, just making sure that we get what we're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think, unless somebody wants to make a motion and go with one of them, but I think we just need to make sure we compare those apples to apples as well.
Was there a bid sheet so everybody knew what
no
bid off of? So that's a very good idea.
Just so, you know.
Jesse Daly verbally took each entity around
to show them that.
Right, yeah.
Right.
Kind of what we were after.
Right.
I noticed one of them says connectivity between server and jail, so, and it looked like, I mean, is this just the courthouse, or are we connecting to the jail system? Or maybe that's why this committee
wanted to put a monitor in the jail, so that the pictures from the cameras in the courthouse would be monitored 24/7.
Because the jail has its own system right now, right?
Right. Yeah. It wouldn't be connected with their system.
Okay.
They would just have a monitor.
So they could see.
I think whatever cameras we have now, they have a monitor over there now.
Okay.
The few that we have.
No.
They don't.
You don't. Do you, Randy?
We have some of the outside cameras.
Yeah, right, right.
You couldn't see down the hallways in here. But yeah, I think that's a good idea, and also maybe check some references. I guess that's always a good idea, I think, if you...
Does, yeah, I agree, Scott. Anybody want to serve help Scott with that endeavor?
I don't think I need any help, if that's okay. I'll get, unless somebody wants to go with me, Larry?
No.
Okay, good. I was hoping you were going to say that. But.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're all...
I'll just get some information, and I'll bring it back to the board. I'll get it put on the agenda as long as you approve of it, mm-hmm. and then I can give you guys the information at the next meeting, if that's all right.
Yeah.
Is that a good or bad idea?
I like it.
It's a great idea.
Okay. Aaron, did you want to comment at all, being as you're here? Anybody? I see Jason's here, too. Either one of you guys want to comment on that? Or anybody here from Thompson as well? I don't know if there is. You want to add anything?
Who's the other gentleman that's here?
Aaron's here, and Jason's here from the back. I mean, I don't know what, at this point.
We propose an access solution. Not sure if everyone else did or not, but...
Yeah, it's hard to, you know, this isn't our forte, let's put it that way. So, Scott, yeah, if you would do that, I think that would be great.
Yeah, and then basically what will happen is, you know, I would assume that once I do a little bit of investigating with a few people to have them look at it, and it'll take me a little bit of time. I'll be talking with Jesse, obviously, to make sure I know what he had going on or when he walked you guys through it. But I just want to make sure that we're getting for what we're paying for.
And Aaron,
no offense to anybody.
Aaron, you have things currently. You're doing things in the jail now. Is that correct?
Yeah, I've got ongoing projects with the county. Yes.
Okay.
I supply all the vehicle equipment for the.
Oh, okay. Maybe that was what I heard.
I did bid a project over there with the security system before the jail. Yeah.
All right. All right. Thank you. All right, so we'll do that, and we'll bring that back then, Scott, if you have something for us.
I'll make sure next meeting I'll have some information.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
I appreciate it, though, guys, the quotes. Thank
you. So we will move on then to item C, Jimmy Powell, COO of Summit Carbon Solutions, to present the economic analysis for Dakota County and review federal regulations regarding the CO2 pipeline. Hello.
Hey, good afternoon. So Jimmy couldn't make it. I'm actually Eric Skubanek. I'm the director of pipeline for Summit Carbon. I know that, you know, we had representation here. I think it was 3 or 4 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Grant Terry was here, I believe. He's a project manager that's working on the pipeline side. We have Debbie here. Debbie Borg. She has some handouts, if you don't mind.
Sure.
So really what we wanted to do was just give just a quick update on the project and then touch base on a few items. You know, as Grant, I'm sure, communicated, we've been working with landowners since, you know, late summer, working on survey permissions and trying to get, you know, voluntary access to survey properties and get intelligence that we need for our permits. Just as of recently, we started working on right-of-way acquisition. I'll let Debbie hand out the stuff. I'm sorry. So, in addition to working on surveys and survey permission, that effort continued last year. And then, you know, when the weather gets too cold, and then we had to demobilize, and now those efforts have kicked back off. So that's happening. We're working on that every day. And then in parallel with that, we're working on right-of-way acquisition. It started just a few months ago in Dakota County. We've seen, you know, very good success on that. We're approaching 25% acquired on voluntary easements. And we're signing up easements every single day. So we're kind of in our infancy on starting that, but we're having really good success, I would say. And we continue to work with landowners on the route and on what their specific needs are, and we will continue to do that. One thing I did want to clarify is that I believe in the Q&A session portion of the meeting that Grant attended, he had mentioned that, you know, we do not have the right to eminent domain, so he misspoke on that. There is a pathway for eminent domain. There's a Nebraska state statute that allows the right to eminent domain for pipeline companies that move certain products and you know, meet certain criteria. And we meet that, so there is a pathway. At the same time, that's not in our vocabulary. We have no intention of discussing, you know, eminent domain with landowners at this time. We want to seek voluntary easements. We want to continue to work with landowners, and we will continue to do that at the time. So I did
see that makes more sense, because with some of the negativity, you know, with the domain option, mm-hmm. you guys got to be able to go somewhere with it.
Mm-hmm. So there is a pathway again.
If you want to call it a pathway, but yeah,
we do not intend on having those conversations. We don't find that it's productive with landowners to discuss that at all. So that should not be in the vocabulary of any right-of-way agent that's working on this project at this time.
Because I think he mentioned, because I think I asked a question, and then he said that they would reroute but not go down that eminent domain path.
So that's an option. We're working with landowners every day on the route. So it's one of the reasons that getting this voluntary survey access is so critical, because we'll have, you know, civil survey crews that are out there, biological crews, and then cultural crews. So they have to survey the route to know if this is buildable, if it's permittable, make sure there's not, you know, species habitat issues, cultural issues, things like that. The surveys are all voluntary. It's just foot traffic, generally speaking. And it's in no way tied to an easement. So we need to gain that intelligence. And then, you know, in discussions with landowners, you know, we are open to discussing route modifications. I can tell you that we've, across the entire footprint, we've made over 1,000 route changes. Some of them are construction related, you know, cultural, biological, but there's a lot of landowner related, you know, route changes. And we only have a finite amount of time to make those kinds of changes, because we have to mature the route from a permitting standpoint. So that's another reason why we need to engage with landowners early and often, and we intend to do so. But as we get further on to the end of the year, those types of changes become more and more difficult to make, because we have to, you know, we have, you know, federal permits we have to acquire, and a lot of other permits that require us to have a mature route and a frozen route and be able to collect survey data from that route. So, but we are, you know, definitely open to negotiating and discussing alternative routes on people's properties. You know, there's a lot of things that go into the route and a lot of different factors, but, you know, there is, you know, the landowner's feedback is very important, and we want to hear that and be able to accommodate that if we can. So I did want to clear that up. And then, you know, similar to what John discussed, we have economic data that we wanted to present. You know, we have roughly 18 miles of 10-inch and 12-inch pipe in Dakota County, and we're anticipating roughly $500,000 a year in property tax. So coupled with Navigator's project, you're, you know, looking at $1.2 million of impact. And then, you know, that's, you know, separate from all the jobs that will be provided both short-term and long-term. And then we're anticipating roughly $25 million of capital expenditures in this county as well. So wanted to get that communicated. And then also just wanted to, you know, make it known that, you know, the Nebraska permitting approach is a county approach. And there are some counties that have, you know, questions about, you know, regulations and what's required and what, you know, what do we have to follow. So we're regulated by PHMSA and the Office of Pipeline Safety. So we have very stringent and strict, you know, design, construction, and operations procedures and things that we have to follow. It's the same design standards and construction standards that much more volatile and much more hazardous pipelines have to follow, and we have to follow those standards as well. And not only are we following those standards because we have to, but we're also exceeding them in a lot of scenarios and a lot of different ways. So, you know, the minimum depth of cover is 3 feet from the top of pipe to the top of soil. We're going 4 foot deep as a minimum. You know, for example, you're required to x-ray 10% of the circumferential welds. We're x-raying all the welds to make sure the integrity of the pipe is there. So, you know, we're required to follow those very strict standards, but we're going to exceed those where we can as well. happy to, you know, engage with planning and zoning groups, engineers, superintendents, road supervisors on the, you know, ordinances that are being proposed, and, you know, would like to, you know, help there where we can. But just wanted to bring that up, and I know that, you know, John had mentioned the same thing as well. So we, you know, look forward to the continue to, you know, talk to those people and, you know, continue to work with them. So that was really kind of high level some of the things that I wanted to discuss. Am I missing anything, Debbie? So happy to open it up for questions to you commissioners as well as the general public, and then I'll be here as long as I need to outside and can answer any specific questions with landowners as well.
Can you spell your name for us for the record?
Yes, so it's Eric, E-R-I-K. The last name is spelled S-C-H-O-V-A-N-E-C.
Thank you. Any questions from the board?
Is this being discussed by the planning and zoning, Larry? Okay, because these are two competing companies, I take it, so they're not collaborating on this. It's two different routes.
That's right. Well, yeah, we're two separate entities, two separate companies, but we follow a similar route. We have, you know, it's a similar project, obviously, with the nature of the project and what we're going to be doing. So there's similar interest in those ordinances and what they say. And again, we follow very strict DOT and FEMSA standards as at a minimum. And we think those are more than sufficient to regulate design, construction, and very... of any product type pipeline, especially CO2.
So you're already talking to landowners. Is planning and zoning, I mean...
No, it's not been finalized.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. Are we getting, I guess, the timing of how this all works, is it?
The next commissioner meeting in 2 weeks, the planning and zoning board will have pipeline regulations for you guys to approve.
Okay, and then we can look at that, and hopefully everything that's been discussed with landowners will...
Well, yeah, and so I don't want to get into specifics. There's a few things in there we would like to discuss more that we don't think make a whole lot of sense, but, you know, happy to talk through those and look at those. And but I did want to mention that it's not the do-nothing option of not having ordinances is something that sounds like you guys aren't wanting to entertain, but we are, regardless of what is in place at a county level, we're going to follow those federal requirements that are put upon us and regulated by FEMSA. So you have the assurance that we are going to build and design and construct a safe pipeline and operate a safe pipeline, because we have to, because we're really regulated by the federal government. So.
And then you would ignore what the planning and zoning requires?
No, sir. I'm not saying that. I'm saying we want to follow those, you know, ordinances as well, but we would like to have a chance to discuss those if there's certain things that, you know, may or may not make sense in our opinion.
Will you be here for the next meeting on the 16th?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Either I'll be here or we'll have a representative. Okay. Jimmy may be here. He was, again, apologize, he was supposed to be here. Something came up at the last minute. But, so either I'll be here or he can be here.
Any other questions from the board?
Does this information that Debbie handed out, will the planning and zoning have the same information?
I can get it to them.
I would recommend that. I mean, it's a lot of good information.
Well, Larry has it.
And one thing that I would mention is that there's a lot of good information in there, and there's a lot of information. So
there's a lot to take in.
Yeah, so what we're planning on doing is putting a more simplified document together county by county on what exactly this means, what our understanding is of how these dollars can be allocated, how much does it mean for schools and roads, and how much does it mean for, you know, police departments, and really kind of show what those dollars mean in Dakota County. And we'll do that for every county. So,
and I think that'd be smart that you guys would do that.
Yes, sir.
Is there some new emphasis at the federal level to capture all of this? I mean, until about 2 years ago, I'd never even heard of CO2 capturing.
I wouldn't say there's an emphasis. There's an incentive with the 45Q tax credit, but speaking for ourselves and our project, the strong backbone for this is agriculture. I mean, half of the corn crop in Nebraska goes to ethanol production. Mm-hmm. So having healthy ethanol plants, you know, allows there to be a healthy end market for corn, healthy land prices, healthy corn prices. So that's really the basis for it, is you know, lowering the carbon intensity of these ethanol plants so they can compete long term in a low carbon world. And you know, there's the added benefit of the environmental benefits, which is, you know, debatable by a lot of people, so I don't really want to harp on that, but it's not debatable that over half of the corn in Nebraska goes to ethanol plants, and having ethanol plants compete long term to us is very important. It's, you know, billions of dollars a year, I believe, in the state of Nebraska on the GDP tied to ethanol, and tens of thousands of jobs. So it's very important, not only in Nebraska, but across the whole footprint. So that's really the backbone of the project that we're doing. You know, we have 32 plants signed up. We just had another plant sign up, I think, just as of last week. So our project's going to grow, and, you know, we continue to get additional plants signed up because they're seeing the added benefit and what it means for not only the ethanol industry, but the entire agricultural industry for the states that we cross. And one last thing I would mention is, you know, we had a series of open houses. We've done so many, I can't remember exactly when those were, a few months ago. We're going to have another round of those the week of May 16th. And we're going to invite, you know, county commissioners and all the, you know, superintendents and engineers, and invite landowners, all the landowners that are on the pipeline, to come in, give a brief presentation, and be able to answer questions. We found that those are valuable, very valuable meetings to have, and we're going to have another round of those, and we'll continue to have them as frequently as we need to. I think there's 10 of them that we're having that week across the whole state of Nebraska.
Is it going to be a sit-down where people ask questions and you people answer questions, or is it going to be go to table to table to table to table asking questions?
I think the structure is going to be that we give a quick presentation, have a TV there, we go through a quick PowerPoint,
yep.
And then, you know, answer a few questions generally, and, you know, from landowners, and then break up into small groups. We'll have a bunch of land agents there. We'll have construction representatives. We'll have project managers. We'll have people that can, you know, answer any type of question that they may have. The land agents will have their computers out. They can look at the route. They can, you know, discuss any kind of specific questions landowners have. So it'll be more of a presentation to start, and then break up into small groups and answer questions.
And more, it's not like a college visit. It'd be more of an intimate. Yes.
And you know, we'll have 10, I think, in that whole week.
Well, I just know the one I went to over here, I was expecting something totally different, and it was a different company, I do believe, a different situation, but it was just like, wow, I felt like it was at a college visit.
Yeah, we don't want it to feel like that. I'm not saying I want it to be informal, but we want it to be that. I mean, where landowners can ask any specific question about, you know, their land and their ground and their concerns, as well as us giving, you know, information on the project and the benefits and why we're doing it.
I'm the outsider looking in, thinking this is what should happen, is what I'm just trying to tell you.
Yeah, so whatever feedback you can provide, happy to incorporate that into the meetings that we're going to have. That's definitely what
instead of getting everybody, you get all the landowners and everybody sitting around and they're talking, and then nothing, they might stop here or stop there, and then as they're talking, then they're convincing one another that, guess what, this is a bad idea, instead of you guys answering the right questions for the people. That's all. I'm just giving you a little advice.
Yep.
You can take it, throw it in the garbage can, or take it, do whatever you want.
We'll take it, and I think that works well for sure. So happy to answer any other questions, and again, I'll be here as long as I need to outside to answer questions for others that are here in the public.
Well, I wish you guys luck.
Thanks, Eric.
Thank you very much.
All righty, moving right along to item D is approve or not approve a letter of support or commitment for the South Sioux City federal grant application to pave Old Highway 20, which will include the county portion from Lake Avenue to Highway 20. Lance, I'm assuming that's what you're here for. If you want to address the commissioners.
Absolutely. Lance Hedgesmith, City of South Sioux City. What we're looking at is the work that was done in front of Great West Casualty, I think, turned out extremely well. And the idea is you'd extend that road all the way out by the airport, and get that entire road done in that fashion. The federal government has a program in which they would pay 80% of the cost, and be 20% then would have to be matched. The proposal, if the county agrees, is that we'd each put in 10% of the project and then have that road paved all the way out to that location. We think that would encourage more development in that area. It'd certainly be much safer for people to travel, particularly with all the trucks coming in and having a turn lane along that area. So what we're seeking is actually two things. One is a statement of support for the project, and second of all, at some point, that we'll each need to commit to our 10% of that project.
Will the center lane be a turning lane yet?
Yes.
Okay, so all the way out to Martins Airfield, center lane, turning lane.
Yes.
And I understand what you guys are after, because there could be some things happening out there down the road.
That is correct. And also, with the new federal program, it's an ideal time to apply, because you'd be the first that would be applying for those new funds. And always what you want to be is the first in line.
What's our 10%, Lance?
My estimate, and this is my estimate, yep. So I don't have an engineer, have a given project, but the total cost would be about $10 million. And so that your cost would be $1 million out of the 10.
And that's concrete all the way
concrete
out?
All the way out. Yes.
How much of this is really, though, in the county versus the city of this stretch?
It kind of depends which side of the road you're on.
Okay.
So basically, from where Bloomers is, from there on out would be all the counties, and also on the north side of the road, back a ways would also be part of the counties.
You know, another thing that I've, of course I live out in the ghetto back there behind the junkyards, but anyways, I see a lot of kids walking from either Tompkins or from the trailer court, and it's dangerous because the road's narrow, and they walk right along the road, and most of these kids in today's world, they wear black, okay, and I've always thought that something should take place out there, because somebody's going to get in trouble. It's going to ruin a few lives. And I'm not saying putting a sidewalk in along with it, but I'm just saying, widen it is not a bad idea.
The intention is you take one of the shoulders and allow for pedestrians to pass along that way.
Right.
Because we're very concerned about the safety of the kids.
Yeah. There's a lot of kids that walk that road, believe me. Have you ever seen them out there, Larry?
That's really.
Yeah. Well, usually it's after dark.
So, a time frame, Lance, on the grant and how that would all come together?
The grant we would want to submit this month. The approval process will probably take at least 6 months to get approved or disapproved, one of the two, whatever it's going to be. And the project itself would not take place for another 2.5 years by the time we get through all the regulations.
Mm-hmm. So 2.5 years, or 2025?
So when would we have to, if this board would decide to jump aboard on a 10% and just an estimation of $1 million, when was that money had to be funded?
You'd expect that you would need that money in 2024 to design the project.
So what if we, and obviously, I mean, I would in favor of a letter of support. The funding part is part B of that. If we don't, are you going to submit an application anyway for the city?
We want to submit an application, but we also have to have the commitment of the funds to do that.
You do.
If the county doesn't go along with that, we will submit for a shorter distance for what's in the city. We think it makes most sense for the citizens to have it go all the way out to the airport and have some areas that will develop well.
Uh-huh. But for $1 million to get that tore up and all concreted with the center lane, in my eyes, that's a no-brainer. And it ain't just because I live out there, okay? I mean, for $1 million to get that long of a stretch done, and with the third lane, with the turning lane in the center, I mean, there's a lot of, well, today there was another accident out in, not that this is going to prevent it, but off of Elgin and Highway 20. Because that road's at a 45, that Highway 20 is at a 45 right there. And unfortunately, I was caught in a situation out there one time where I got in trouble. Seen a lot of people get banged up right there. So, anyways, yeah, I think it's a no-brainer for the money. And I know it's $1 million, but you know, we've spent $1 million on more foolish things like C Avenue that goes the road that goes nowhere for $900,000.
Not this board.
Huh?
Not this board.
It was right before my time.
Well, I think, Lance, honestly, we have, as you know, a long list of projects. We have not committed to really any big paving or things yet. There's a lot of things on the table. I know time is you know, of the essence for you. I know that. And Scott, I agree with you. $1 million is you know, not a lot to get that done all the way out there. But we did talk. We did talk early on about you know, the county's portion. Janet, to your point, the county's portion of 20, which is from Lake approximately to the airport. We talked about an overlay on that, Larry.
$250,000-$300,000.
So,
but we don't know the generals on what's being taken place.
Until May 16th.
Right.
Of what that's going to consist of.
Right. But I'm just saying, you know, that was in some of our initial conversations on our part was that right. County. The county portion.
But then you're dealing with blacktop again, and then you know, you can sit there and say, well, I'll just give you a perfect prime example when Knife River did Elgin Avenue, and they said, this is good for 15 years. It's only been 7, and look at the issues. I mean, blacktop, you don't know what goes on underground.
A lot of that, though, was the fact that it was very thin. It should have been, really should have been 8 inches for the grain traffic coming out of there, the semi and stuff, you know.
Yep.
It's kind of unfortunate that one don't spend the money like you should up front. It'd be the same case, right, what we're talking about now. You know, but it's
got to
get fixed.
Okay, so
if you want, by the way, we'd be happy to split whatever percentage in the county. We'd be happy to do that too. We just think it needs to be a joint project because that gets you a much better chance.
Once you take it to your city council, you guys will pay $1.5 million, and we'll do $500,000.
That's not going to work. It's either a percentage of what's in the city and in the county. Or
yeah, but who's going to benefit?
I think there's more county than city, isn't there?
It is. It's way more county than city.
That's what I thought.
All right.
Well, sure there is. I understand that. It doesn't take a rocket science to figure that out. But by the time you guys get your area developed out there, it'll be a 50-50 about probably, wouldn't it?
Well, anyway, we're willing to do the million. If you want to do something different,
he went around with a question. I love this guy. He's good. No. I think it's a good deal. I really do. I think it's a no-brainer. You know, where can we come up with $1 million by 2024? I guess nobody has a crystal ball around here. But you know what? If you can get that paved with a turning lane for that kind of money, and we're looking to put $300,000 or $400,000 in an overlay that we're just talking about, yeah.
So you said this month, Lance, you want
to
get your application in.
Yeah, we want to be able to submit it overall. I'm not getting into your finances or whatever you do, but you know, we've actually done bond anticipation notes based on your highway allocation. Some of these things affect your budget. I'm not here to say one way or another, but I think it's a great opportunity for us.
Okay.
All of us.
Okay.
So the May 16th, we'll know on the other project.
Okay. So, board, then what do you want to do? Do you want at least till the 16th to talk about, because we haven't even gotten to our ARPA discussion today. You know, so I think we need to have those bigger discussions, Lance, with this board on commitments, et cetera.
Well, and I think another thing we need to look at, and if we get back to you by the 16th, okay, that's not a problem. But I think what we need to look at is look at, even if we did not use the ARPA monies for this, and maybe see where we're at with our bonding and lids area, and to see where, you know, what's going to be being paid for within the next couple of years. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe it's something we could bond. That's, you know, that's just an option too.
Yeah, it is. It you is. Know,
if we could use that money elsewhere.
And they have an avenue to worry about too. About $1 million.
And the project, I mean, we don't know for sure that it will cost $10 million. It could be.
We're expecting to have the project cost estimate from Gilmore & Associates by the first part of next week.
Perfect.
Perfect. Okay.
See, M Avenue would be a mile. And we had an estimate, a 24-foot wide, we had an estimate of 700.
I think it is just
20, 30, 40, 50,000. It's too narrow. It can't be done that way. It needs to be done 30 foot wide. And I would guess it would come to $1 million to go that extra width.
Right away is not an issue. But was you done, Larry? I'm sorry.
And a few other things. So this is 2 miles. So say it was the same width and everything, which would be wider. It should be 2 minutes. Then if you add another lane, okay, let's say it's 40 foot wide.
$1 million.
$1 million, perhaps.
If it's less, that's certainly fine with us.
Yeah, I mean, right. That's less money we got to come up with.
And on the right of way, we do have the right of way.
Yes, with the center lane, it's fine with the state.
Yeah.
So it'd be a good thing if we could keep it down somewhere, it wouldn't cost us a whole lot more than if we were going out and mail it over there, you know. Which is a possibility if I'm thinking it all right, you know, because the engineering would be $100,000, $200,000, so if you got that cost too.
But get with us, Lancey, with the dollar amount, if you would, and then we'll get this back on the agenda on the 16th, so then we can.
All right.
Yeah, I think it's like I said, if we're planning on redoing the road now, and you know, with our ARPA money, let's just look at our whole fund situation and see where we're at. I think it's. You'll never have that opportunity again.
And we also had the highway commissioners here, and so we took them out to look at that road, because that's the old Highway 20, as you know. Yep. So they seem to have some interest in it. So.
Yeah, that went to California.
Down Route 66, remember?
Yeah, I've been on Route 66.
Highway 20 goes all the way across the United States.
It does, goes all the way across.
California, I've been on it. We're out in Oregon.
It goes all the way across.
Albany, Oregon.
All right. Well, thank you, Commissioner.
Lance, thank you for coming
you.
In.
Lance. All right. Have a super day.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
I don't even know where my agenda is.
Joe,
where
when we have, Joe, when we got that offer money? When do we have to have that?
Obligated by 24.
December. All right. Moving right along.
Keep rolling.
December 31st.
To item E is to approve.
26.
Resolution 22C009 to declare personal surplus property as obsolete and dispose of per 233107.
I can make a motion to approve the resolution that will name this property on the attached spreadsheet as obsolete, and then we have a public sale, right? A public auction?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Janet, motion seconded by Troy to approve that resolution.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Okay, item F, we're going to move to the next agenda.
Talk about
the,
our candidate.
The deadline was April 29th. Do you want to extend it?
We don't have one.
No. No one applied.
That's extended.
So You want to do it till the next meeting?
Next meeting.
Okay, we'll go to the 16th. So that, a motion?
I'll make a motion to extend it to the next meeting.
And seconded by Larry to extend the deadline to the 16th. Call the roll, please, Joan.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Okay, item G is approve a special designated liquor license for Watt Bertram of Siouxland, Inc. for a fundraising event on June 11, 2022 from 12 noon to 10 p.m. at the location of 500 142nd Street, South Sioux City, Nebraska. Anybody here to speak on that? If not, I think this is the one we've done
in the past. And I remember last year I went to it. Yeah, it was very entertaining. The people are, the culture's a different culture. They got great food. And when my kids and I walked into there, they got the police officers. It's very well organized. And I think they threw enough food to feed an army on the table for like five of us. I was like, oh, just kept coming with it. But no, they put on a very nice organization, very clean music. And like I said, it goes from noon to 10. And I would make a motion to approve them to have their designated liquor license there on June 11th, noon to 10 p.m. at 500 142nd Street.
Second that.
All right. Motion by Scott, seconded by Janet on the special designated license. Call the roll, please.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Larry, you and I are going this year. I have a quick question
about that. So doesn't the cities have to do this? I guess, why is the county doing this?
Because it's in the county. It's out in the county.
Oh, this, okay, because usually I see this on city agendas.
142nd Street.
Yeah, it's out in the county.
Because we rarely do this. We do this for the fair and the location is, even though it says South Sioux City, Nebraska, it's out of the city limits.
Okay. All right, item four under old business and miscellaneous. Item A is Jolene Goebbels, here, Highway Superintendent, with her road report. Jolene, hello.
Hello, good afternoon.
Hi, Jolene.
We had 334 hours maintaining roads, 4.25 hours of overtime, 11 hours on tree removal. We spent 20 hours on 260th Street doing some ditch cleaning there. Same with Omaha Avenue. O Avenue, we had 24 hours. That was a minimum maintenance road that had been closed for repairs for a year or two. We got that back open. 11.5 hours on I Avenue. 39 hours replacing the guardrail on Atticat. There was an accident there, kind of messed up that. 16 hours on garbage pickup. 74 hours on gravel hauling. We hauled 1,167.78 tons of 1.5-inch crushed concrete, 22 hours on signs, and we had grading concerns on 207th, Lynch Avenue, T Avenue, Oakdale, and requests for gravel on 207th.
Okay, my concern, we talked about this when I asked you to call the state and they put up the signs, the closure signs. Oh. For the off-ramp, it's going to be a huge expense for the county, for us, if we do not stop traffic from going that way, because trucks are
still doing it.
Yes, and there's a sign right at Arby's that says closed through traffic, and they still go down, go across the railroad tracks, and go underneath the bridge, down through Atticat, and around the corner, and the road is taking a huge beating, and I don't know what we got to do to stop it.
That's something the deputies could patrol a little more. I mean, we can put up all the signs, but we can't enforce them, so.
We go out there, we have the same problem with 164th goes down.
Yep.
At 110.
Yep.
We get calls. We can put a guy out there all day, and they'll see a truck. But then that patrol truck disappears, they all come out of the woods. I mean, I can't.
And I don't know what's it closed for?
Well, the off ramp when they go past, when they're going, they want to go west.
Highway 20 repair.
Yeah.
Right?
The off ramp's closed. So what they're doing is they're going down to Arby's and then they're turning down 39th Street and then going, you know, and like I said, there's signs up and everything shows the detour of going over to Sioux City, around the loop, and coming back and heading west on, but they're not doing it. And I'm telling you, the road, have you been out there, Larry?
Yeah.
She's taking a beating. It's taking a beating.
Lake Abbott? What road?
It's
Attica Drive.
Attica Drive. Yeah,
I don't know if they put more signs up. I don't know. People just don't read signs.
It doesn't look like it's closed. That's the problem.
Well, there's signs right there, right when you turn on by Arby's. It says.
Well, I know that, but
and then maybe you could put
local traffic only, or what is it?
Yeah, local traffic only, or no?
Is there a tonnage sign that says?
Well, the state is the one putting up these signs.
Right.
The city of South Sioux wouldn't do it because it's not their project. So,
well, it is.
But then once they hit our portion of the county road, they're already there. They're not, you know, they don't have much option that they got to continue.
Well, I'm just saying, I don't know if there's an option or what we can do, but it's going to end up. And I don't know how long that off ramp's going to be closed for. I was curious on that, but I'm sure it's going to be a while because. But they're every day. Yeah, every day I see a truck going that way, and just a few times that I'm down that way. But anyways, just could you talk to the state about that?
See if they'll increase patrol in that area.
So can you ticket anybody? I mean, is it illegal? I guess I don't know.
I think it's a lost cause.
You can?
Our problem, not sticking up with truck drivers, but I know one truck driver who stopped, he actually turned around at the railroad tracks to come back. And he says, I'm just following the directions that Google Map gives me on there is one of the detours.
Yeah. Oh.
And I don't know if you guys have somebody you can contact on that, but when they do the detour, somebody from the state had to have contacted and said, we're going to tear this up and block it. Because the detour they come up was to come down there, go across, or go down to 29th Street, and stop 77 from there.
And the thing is, it's
and they
faster.
Do it all day long.
It's faster, okay? Not that I've done it in a truck the other way, but I've done it in the semi by going over the bridge, around the loop, back over. It has to be way faster.
Well, I know it is, but they're following instructions that they're... You'd be surprised how many have the...
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah.
And when they go up to northbound, 29, 9 times out of 10, they'll be met by a South Street unit. It's on the avenue or on West 29th Street, so they're avoiding...
Well, I'm just...
It's a problem.
It is a problem, and I know that it's just going to be a problem for us when it comes to repairing.
Try and contact Dan Sayer and see if he can do something about that detour route that's on Google. I mean, they put it on there. They should be able to change it. So,
I mean, there's a sign lit up out there that's lit up. It says closed. So get and it says detour. I don't know what else you gotta. I don't know.
Dylan, what about?
Usually there's a detour. You know, when I'm out of town, if I'm on my Google Maps, it'll tell me what the detour is. You know, it ain't gonna take me to Arby's and down through. I but whatever. I'm just heads up. It's a problem. And if you want to talk to Dan to see what his solution is. But like I said, it'll be an expense to us of repairing that road because it is falling apart.
What about Vince's 190th Street?
Right.
He mentioned it. Is that the right street?
Yeah. 190th Road.
I talked to the operator on that road after he said that, and he said he's been down there and has done stuff. He's even helped Vince Cramper. Vince has come out and helped the operator fix that area. It is the railroad's responsibility, and Ryan said we did fix it not too long ago, and then the railroad was down in there messing around with it again. But I've been trying to talk to the railroad about over by Jackson, which they are not willing to help us out too much there. But anyway, I have some contact information. I can call them and see if they can do something about that crossing. Over by Jackson, the only way they really want to help us is if they can give up a crossing. Well, we can't really give up a crossing because we have people that live on the south side, and they don't want to give us access to their. They have a access road along the railroad tracks. And they said that's too close to their railroad to make them feel comfortable, and they don't want to give us any of their right of way because they could potentially expand the railroad in that area. So I'm going to try a couple more people to see how far I can get there, but that option's not looking too good right now to go with the railroad. And they've stalled us out in the past, so I don't know. At least we're getting answers as to why they don't want to help us instead of just ignoring us altogether. So maybe we can get a little further. I don't know.
Yeah, they probably, it doesn't matter to them that we have three bridges in half a mile.
Right, yeah.
Okay,
we have three crossings, though, too, that one. Well, there's three, because there's one at the bridge.
Bluff Road, and then
aren't those other two roads that come over from Jackson to that side?
Yeah, so there's three crossings right there.
So if you eliminate one, they might be willing to do it?
Like one bridge instead of... The only one we could really eliminate would be the one that goes on the west side, but we already kind of have access there. We have an emergency access on that side already, so that's really not helping us any.
Okay. I was thinking that you could just use one bridge and then get to all places off of one bridge. That would be one less. Yeah.
Jorian, that piece down there to Homer, that paving, and the paper said it was 6 inch, but it shouldn't be less than 8.
And we were talking about that too. I don't know. I'll have to look. We went off the paper that you had drawn up. So, I'll have to look at that again. But yeah, we had some typos that we had to take care of. But I'll double check on that.
Brent looked at Elgin to see about there's some that should be removed.
He went down there and looked at them all, and all the contractors have his information. To call them and discuss it before they bid. So,
is he going to be taking out some of that fracture?
I'm not sure about that, but we can always adjust that on the bid sheets and stuff like that. So,
it was not on there. How would you adjust it if not that?
Well, we're sending the stuff out. I mean, we put a minimum in the paper, but if there's something we need to adjust before they bid it, we can adjust that bid sheet because it's not that part of the paper.
Have you got copies that I can pick those up?
What's that?
I'd like to get the copies that you're sending out.
Okay. Yeah, I can get you some copies.
Should you email that to you, Larry?
I can just pick it up. It's easier for me.
Okay.
I'm over there 2-3 times a day anyway.
All right.
And I talked to Jolene about where the county's going to get a better pickup, or we need to get a newer pickup. But I asked her if we could take we're thinking about the blade out there in the other truck, if they could do the parking lot out here in snows, when it snows, and kind of kill two birds with one stone. And you and Brent said it should work, or we could make it work.
Right, yeah.
How's that going to work, though? Is somebody going to be here all day long to move the snow as the snow comes down? I mean, really,
no,
I've got to have a truck here. You can't be here, and you can't have your guys here if it's snowing all day long. You can do it maybe in the morning, but who's going to do it during the day and keep the place clean?
We'll go to that next. Joel, anything else on the roads? No?
Thanks, Joel.
No? Okay. Okay. All right. So item D is to approve or not approve the building and ground superintendent to purchase a pickup with snowplow cost of over $10,000. So Kevin had looked at one, and Troy went and looked at the pickup. So,
it's just an old pickup that you could throw a lot of money at. It has low miles, but it's an old construction truck. It's rusty. It's probably idled every day of its life for who knows how long. I mean, I think in the long run, it could cost us a lot of money, I'm afraid.
20,000 hours and 200,000 hours on it.
Which, 70,000 miles.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
Yes, yes. Yeah. In comparison,
which then led into the question about Jolene and the road department, I guess, right?
That coming out because they're gonna go out and do part of Tompkins with it, I think, and some of that. So I was assuming that if it snowed much there, they might have to make a couple rounds there. And I thought maybe Kevin could do. Can you do cleanup if there's a little bit with your mower or your little loader or
yeah.
not much or?
If it's snowing, you've got to be out there on an hourly basis, or else somebody's going to slip, fall, sue us, whatever.
But so,
there's cars out there on an hourly basis.
Kevin, you want to come up? Do we still have that little tractor
thing? Yeah, we have a little tractor, but it's not a little 3 foot,
Right.
This is a big lot.
Yeah.
I got to do the fire hall, and I got to do the lot over there at the jail. Uh-huh. Can't keep up with that little tractor and a 3 foot blade.
But if the
so
weather's...
I gotta have a truck, and we gotta have a truck to go. I'm getting tired of using my truck and my vehicles to go to Menards and pick up this or go here and pick up that. That's between me and Jesse. We both can use it at the jail. So we've got to have a truck.
Do you use that electric car at all?
No. The stuff I haul, I'm not gonna put it in that little tractor.
You can't get it in there?
Oh, try to get, a little stuff. But I'm saying we...
Have you ever used the electric car?
A couple times.
This is what I'm just trying to visualize. In the morning when no one's here, when the road department starts, theoretically speaking here, if they would push everything around here, people start showing up, and I know we get snows... If it keeps snowing and blowing, but when all the cars are here, like Troy said, if they're just doing some of the Tompkins or whatever area, you can't really use a truck when there's cars around here, anyways.
You have to do it first thing in the morning before
you just right. basically you do doing a sidewalk.
So that's where you need something a little smaller to be able to get around. I don't know your tractor. I remember the tractor. Is that the one that Rick Jensen had?
Yeah, the little Arm Simplicity.
I don't even know how big the blade is on it or anything like that. But
he was out there all day when it was snowing.
Yeah.
With that little tractor.
Yeah, when it's snowing. Oh, I'm sure he was.
Yeah. I mean, we never got a 10-inch snow. I don't know what we did in that case when we had that, when Rick was still here. Maybe the county did do it that
time.
I don't know.
The city came over and helped a few times with their skid loader.
Well, they did.
Can't ask.
I just don't know what, and we all know what today's market vehicles are. I don't know what you can find that is decent with a blade.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have a blade, right?
No, it's the county's department's blade.
Oh, it's your blade?
Yeah.
Where's that? Is that at the shop?
Over
here?
That Ford over here.
That truck.
We
don't use that blade anyway, do we?
Yeah,
I did. As soon as we got it, it would come into the courthouse. So it's something we would like to use,
think you
but
gave
we've
in.
Been letting these guys use.
Yeah, probably.
So. Yeah, it's a V-plow.
It's a V-plow, yeah.
Yeah, they put it on that truck. Well, now they can't. That truck won't stay running. And they've had it to mechanics, and they can't figure out why it won't stay running. It runs, warms up, shuts down. And you got to sit for 10, 15 minutes, and then it'll fire up for a little while and shut down.
If the snow's really, really, really bad, though, the courthouse does shut down, don't they, for the day? Or
rarely.
So, if it's going to be really bad, I would think that the courthouse is going to be shut down anyway. But
it'd be quite a chore once this courthouse opened to do anything.
We have one the county does for weed spray. We'll take out the weed spray.
No,
by
Then we don't have to spend much money, because you can get one of those for $1,500, $2,000, $2,500 for bead flap.
Or less.
Then the county gets to come out here, they can clean it up, and then he'll still have something to push a little snow with.
Okay, so we just kind of come up with a semi-solution, okay?
Does it have anything to do with this item?
What's that?
Does it have anything to do with this item on the agenda?
On the pickup?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't
kind
talk.
Sort of.
I wouldn't talk nothing about. We're just trying to. I think we're brainstorming here, but the weed department, you know, they have their side by side, and you can push a lot of snow with the side by side, and you can get a 5 foot, 6 foot plow on the front of one of them. And you can push a lot of snow. So during the winter months,
does it have heat in?
If
I gotta freeze my.
If it doesn't, you can get a heater put in it really cheap.
And you can put cheap gravel too.
Yeah. Huh?
Does it have? Is it enclosed? I mean.
Well, you can get an enclosement for it.
Just for the winter. Yeah.
And then they can use it in the summertime, and you can use it in the wintertime.
Works for me.
Not a bad idea.
You know.
Does it have air conditioning?
No AC.
No AC.
Take the cover off and go faster.
Let's look. Let's look at that situation.
Let's do that.
I don't even know what they have out there. What year it is? What it is? I mean, I don't.
It's over here.
Is it over here?
Yeah.
I don't even know what it is.
Well, it's nearly new, is it?
It only has like 30 hours on it or something.
Oh, so it's wore out. So we better get a new pickup.
No, we're talking about the four wheeler.
Oh yeah. Yeah, 30 hours.
I think.
Well, whatever, it doesn't matter. I think that's a good alternative. You could get a V plow for it. And maybe one could spend, I don't know what a V plow costs nowadays, but that's a good idea.
Something to think about.
Yeah. Yeah, because like I said, if you get a side by side, you can push a lot of snow. A lot of snow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do just
and
as
we have
well.
The expensive, most expensive part of equipment, the piece of the equipment bought already.
Right. Yeah. Okay, let's look at that, okay?
Good.
Hey, Kevin, while we have you here. Do we have a policy on towing vehicles out of our lot, like a certain time or?
Well, there's going to be. I mean, we put some signs up. Chris, I talked to Chris. He said if you put some signs up, 24-hour parking. You know.
Do we? 24 hours. What about if somebody's in jail over here and has a car parked?
Oh, I've had them. 3 and 4 cars parked out here for weeks, months, a month, you know. And I've asked Chris if he, you know, he said, oh, it ain't going to hurt to sit there. Well, in the wintertime, it's going to hurt.
Right.
It's going to be a pain. You know what I mean?
But
this one that you're talking about last week, that incident, I mean, that Colorado plates on it, had a missing hood, had a muffler hanging down, and it was sitting there for 2 days. So I had it towed.
And it doesn't matter which one that was, but I don't know that the 24-hour policy help somebody that's in jail over the weekend over there that has a car out there. I mean, maybe we need to come up with a plan.
And Deb and Lou are talking about it. They're gonna, if somebody gets incarcerated or whatever, they're going to find out where they park and see about and why this on this incident the mother of the. Went to the jail and asked them to get the keys, and she would take the thing home. They wouldn't give her the keys from the guy and a release. You know, to release the keys, she wanted to take it and get it out of here, and they wouldn't give her the keys.
Well,
she
or he was told that their car would be okay. I don't know how long it was over the weekend or something.
When I see a car with a missing hood and a muffler hanging down and Colorado plates and sitting there for 2 days, I had it towed. Yeah.
I would check with the jail first. Maybe get in the plate.
Usually the jail, if they park at the, you know, if they get incarcerated, they're parking over here or somewhere closer to the jail, not clear over here on this side of the hill.
Right. Well, anyway, the gal called, and she was really upset.
Yeah.
And that ended up costing us the towing fee because we told her she could park it here. Or him, whoever the case may be. But anyway, I just wanted to bring it up. So if we need to work on a policy or we need to work on signs.
We're working on a policy. We're going to put some signs up, 24-hour parking.
And I'm not sure that's enough.
At their expense.
Run that policy by this board first before we do that.
I'll run it through that.
Because I'm not sure 24 hours is enough for
maybe we have some designated spots.
Or yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Why can't they park over in the west lot or something and not take? We're so busy here with court and everything else, and you guys
and
trying to park
know.
Out here.
They don't know.
They don't have money coming.
They go to court. They go to jail. They aren't letting them move their vehicle. And
yeah, some go. You know, they don't have a choice.
Yeah.
You know how it got here. I don't have any idea. Yeah, but anyway. Until we get a policy, I think the first thing is check with the jail.
And see if that's there.
See if, hey, you got somebody in here, Colorado plate, wherever the case may be, because, you know, we don't want to pay. First of all, we don't want anybody. The guy got out. He's going to go to work. He can't get his car. The mom's got to pay the towing fee and
storage,
et cetera. And she's hot. He's hot. And we pay. So that's the only reason why I bring it up. So just bring that policy back to the board. You need help. Kim be happy to help you.
I'll get with Kim.
We'll come up with some kind of plan. Yeah.
Kim will be delighted.
Delighted. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Did we do C?
Nope.
No. Oh. Yeah. We moved right past that. I'm sorry.
That's right.
So I guess the D, do we need a motion on that or no?
No.
No. Okay. We're going to do C. Second. C, we moved on, Janet. We extended the...
We did not do anything with C.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Item C, approved chair to sign the weed superintendent reports and requirements summary. I saw weed and I thought that wasn't there. Application or the weed superintendent.
Looks like we had a few deficiencies, but maybe
no deficiencies.
No, what's our score? If your score was less than 3,400, it said, didn't it say the cover?
We're right in there then at 3,400.
No, we're 2,700, aren't we? 27 at 3,400? I guess that's maybe not part of my question. I was trying to read this. What does this mean?
If I could find my own, I could maybe help you out. I got a mess.
Because the cover letter I know said something about if you're below 3,400, you need to do something. And then when I flipped it over, I didn't know. It was mostly about
they must
survey
tell,
and county follow-up.
They must tell you under 3,400 your score, what your...
2,700. We got 2,700 out of a possible 3,400.
And it mostly relates to the inspection part on the top.
And the county has deficiencies and steps need to be taken. And he broke it down.
And it looks like we were doing some of that, but I'm curious, do we need to do anything?
You guys should step up and be the weed superintendent. I love spraying weeds.
I'll make that motion.
Not quite yet.
All right, so we just need to... we need to approve to sign, and we'll address those with...
Who's the weed superintendent?
Nobody
Matt.
Right
Matt.
Now.
We don't have one. Matt Roos right was.
So this is for the period that we're already...
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Oh, you're 2021. I see. So it's a year old. So at this point, we just accept it and say, yeah, we got it. Okay.
Yeah, move on.
We're going to move forward and fix a couple of these.
I got to make a motion for the chair to sign that.
Second.
Thank you. Scott motioned and Troy seconded on that. Call the roll, please, Joan.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
We need to find a guy ASAP, don't we?
Yes.
Yeah, we do. Do you want to do the closed session? Do you want to do the other ones now? A couple items left on there. The ARPA.
Do closed session.
Do closed session?
Yeah.
Yeah, do closed session. All right. We'll do the closed session last to just move forward a little bit. That's item E. So let's go to F. That's approved projects with monies from the American Rescue Plan relief funding. I'm not sure if we have any projects at this time that are waiting to be approved. Anybody know of any? Yes.
I'm curious. I mean, I know there was a committee that reviewed some of these. Did they have, I'm not really privy to what particular projects they were, but did they have a scoring mechanism or any way to vet the projects?
or compare them to the original goals?
The first initial?
Yeah.
No. Not really, Janet, after the change in the regulations,
okay,
which opened it up.
So the committee never really went through and vetted and said, these are our top.
That's right.
And, okay.
That's right.
A couple of questions I had is, I know, as I looked at this after last meeting, I'm glad we did what we did, but I know Heartland Counseling doing some expansion. I know they work a lot with our jail.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's something that they're doing that would relate to counseling for getting connected back into the community, job placement, those kind of services. I don't know what they're doing because I didn't see the application, but I do think they do good work and they do help with what we have, some of the folks we have here that may have addiction problems or mental health problems.
Mm-hmm.
And then another one I was thinking about is I go to the Y, and I know the Y is doing an expanded health daycare program, and I know that's a huge issue in this community with daycare and some of the odd schedules that some of our manufacturers use. And if they have some expanded daycare options, I think that would be, I don't know if that's what they wrote in their programming, because I know they're expanding that significantly. And then NNTC is another one. I know that was another one of those were, as I read you the original document about how we were supposed to spend it, it was on those types of things.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And then internet. So is there something in Dakota County, we're doing a broadband study right now where everybody's supposed to be, where is the dead zones in Dakota County?
Mm-hmm.
If we could fund another...
My place?
Yeah, if we could fund a tower or something in Dakota County.
Starlink takes care of it.
Do they? Okay. But anyway, those were three topics that I know were in the original guidelines that I... And those three entities did Heartland Counseling, the Y, and NNTC.
Is that the broadband? Is the one Simcoe is doing? They're doing that.
Broadband. They're doing a broadband study right now.
Right.
And finding there are several places out in the county that are just red. I mean, there's no connectivity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was surprised. Out by Willis, there's an area there's no connectivity.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know about you.
I do have a company, but it's terrible.
Okay.
It's barely dial up, and then it drops you.
Barely dial up.
And then back in the hills where we used to live on the hills up by the golf course, there was really some tough areas back down in there too.
I just like hearing that noise once in a while.
But anyway, that's my thoughts is if we have those original applications,
check that out real quick.
It'd be interesting to look at them and see if there's a certain piece of that we could help with.
Well, okay, so a couple things. I know there's some folks like Heartland Counseling that were, waiting to hear from us, and as others as well, on the projects that we may or may not do. And as our list got longer, we started to realize that the county, the things we wanted to do in the county were all of a sudden... It was a lot of money.
Right.
Roads,
lots of road projects.
A million here, a million there. 3.8, we said initially, there's a lot of money.
Yeah.
But we have done a few things. We committed to the HVAC. We did the premium pay. We did the hallway out
the
there. Some things, great things. The drone, yes. Thanks, Scott. And those folks like Heartland Counseling and other ones that applied, they were waiting to hear. So, in our discussions in the last several meetings, because this has been on there all along or for a while, I got the impression that the county, that our list was going to be just so overwhelming and costly that we weren't going to have enough to do anything else. Oh, the fire departments, I forgot about those. We did those at the last meeting. So we have part two of this, our ARPA discussion today. We have this letter. I don't know, Janet, you should have.
I think it got emailed to us.
You should have this letter.
Yeah,
okay, and this pretty much... lays out. I can read this for the public. So this is kind of, and again, this is up for discussion. This has to be approved by the board or not approved by the board. But so the letter reads, dear ARPA applicant, thank you for your ARPA funding request application to the Dakota County Board of Commissioners. Many excellent projects were proposed and requests totaled in excess of $13 million. The final rule for eligible usage changed for counties receiving less than $10 million. The county is now eligible to invest the full amount allocated towards general government services. To date, funds have been used for employee premium pay and several courthouse projects. The board approved $20,000 to each rural fire department of Homer, Dakota Covington, and Emerson Hubbard, and road projects in the county will use the majority of the remaining funds. The board regrets that your project will not be funded. However, the board is proposing to do road projects that will benefit many residents of Dakota County. So basically what that says is you know, and I've been upfront about it, and the board has all along, that when those rules changed, because at first there were just specific things, and that was it. Public safety, broadband, help me, Larry, with the box culvert. Just a certain things, and then I think the federal the treasury or whoever was in charge of it got so many questions about it that they just said, look, anybody under $10 million, government services, you guys can use it for government services, and that's it. So, well, not that's it, but so, and as we've said all along, anything we do is government services, right?
I think there was too many counties that was wanting to give the money back because they didn't have a purpose for it prior with the stipulations what they were, you know, offering.
Right. It would have been tough right at first.
Well, sure, it would have been.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, yeah, it was just, it was more of a headache than it was, right. Was not. So, and so 89 of the 93 counties in Nebraska got under $10 million. So, you know, so then that led to our discussions about roads, M Avenue, and other things that we can do. And again, anything we do will help everybody in Dakota County. That's why we looked at projects. You know, we have them all over the board, but we have a lot more projects now, we find, than we do money.
Right.
So there is no order of what needs to be done, but you know, M Avenue comes to the forefront. That's been on the table for a long, long time. You know, so, and we've asked for input for other projects, and we have a long list of projects. So this is the. Unfortunately, this is the letter that is before you today, and Scott mentioned a couple meetings ago, I think, that when we do this, you know, we're going to do it as a board, so we're all going to, you know.
I think we all need to sign it because we're all voting on it. I mean, it's pretty simple. I think that we're all pretty much in agreement. So that, like I said, the county's going to benefit, the people in the county, somehow they're going to benefit mm-hmm. from what the money that is going to take place with the cash. So
yeah, and there's a lot of different things going forward in play. There's as Scott mentioned before, when Lance was here with the city and that project, you know, we've got a budget coming up that we have to put together, you know, by July 1 for next year. So is it ARPA? Is it budget? Is it whatever? So there's a lot of big pieces of this that are going to come together sooner rather than later, because the clock's ticking, but we need to have that going forward. So
so this just gives these folks some indication as to where we're going with this. So basically we're going to do roads. Do we have, and we need to kind of have a list of roads? And I guess I feel like if this goes out and people start coming to me and asking me, I want to be able to say, you know, these are the priority projects. So rather than just...
Well, yeah. Where is... You should have that spreadsheet
right,
for
the all
of the project that we had on there.
Right.
Everybody has that.
Right.
And again...
So will people know what their road, if their road's on the list? And just say, road's on the list, and maybe we'll do it, maybe we won't.
And we have some out for bids right now.
Right. We have seven projects.
Okay.
Is that right? Seven out for bid, Jolene?
Seven or eight
out for bid.
Okay. So that would be the priority projects. I feel like we should know what we're...
Well, and part of that was the 1 and 6 year road plan too,
yeah.
that came into that mix. So there's a lot going on, but I think
we
have to these folks that applied
need to know.
Well, thanks for coming, Aaron.
You know what? We're not gonna get anything from the county, and so
they can seek other funding sources.
Right, because.
Yeah. I just feel bad that we went out and got all these solicitations, and now we're going to be...
Well, I'm sure we're not the only one, though, in the same boat. I mean, when they changed those rules 2 or 3 months in, I mean, there was already had to be just a lot of counties doing the same thing we did, you know.
Yeah.
Gee, all of a sudden we got all this money, what are we going to do with it?
Mm-hmm.
But by the way, here are those guidelines, mm-hmm. and then they changed.
Yeah. Because I mean, some of these are worthy.
Oh, absolutely. Worthy groups, absolutely.
Yeah,
there's no question. There's no question.
Understood.
So I think it says approve a letter to ARPA applicants regarding use of funds. So do we want to approve that?
I would make a motion to approve for the commissioners to sign this letter and send out to the applicants that need to be sent out to.
Okay.
Villages, townships, whatever you want to call them. Okay. That's my motion.
And I will second it.
All right. Motioned by Scott, seconded by Troy to send a letter to these folks. Call the roll, please, Joan.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes. Okay, thank you. So we will go to then Commissioner Committee Reports. Scott, anything?
Yes, last Wednesday the Health Department, we met. Things are going well. No problems. Everything's good. Running smoothly. They talked about this here, and she asked me if the commissioners wanted to get involved, but they got their, how do you say that top word? Color? Yeah, whatever. But anyways, this is on Saturday, June 11th from 10 a.m. to noon, and it's like I think it's a 5K. You can walk, or it starts down by the, what's that indoor tennis court down there?
Yeah, that one.
The one
I don't know the name.
Down by the train bridge, and then goes down the sidewalk, down by the dog park, and then. But anyways, it's they got a lot of cool things: bouncy houses, face paintings, and etc. And she asked if the commissioners would be interested in maybe volunteering. And I was like, I don't know what they're into. If they want to do something like that on that date, if they're able
June
to,
what, Scott?
To be a volunteer.
June what?
June 11th. They start setting up down there like at 7 a.m. And they want to try to get 20, 25 volunteers. I think the first year they said they had 150 people. That was 3 years ago. And then the second year they had 300 people. And then, of course, with the COVID, they didn't have it. And then now they're back up and running with it again. So, yeah. Matter of fact, I did.
Volunteer that first year.
Yeah, yeah. Was it fun, Joe?
Yeah.
Yeah, I always like volunteer for those types of things. Matter of fact, I got Chief Randy to do a, yeah, it was amazing. I got Randy Reagan to do a fundraiser, not a fundraiser, but do a banner with me. Mm-hmm. And so anyways.
We have a photo of that somewhere.
So, but yeah. So, but anyways, they have that going on. And then, so if anybody's interested, you can contact them to volunteer. Be a good day to take your wife down there, hang out, or your husband, whatever. And then on Thursday, was it Thursday, I do believe, the following day, we had the Merit Commission. We had two new jailers that they tested prior, 2 weeks prior beforehand, and they all passed. And then we, Arlen Keene and a deputy, I forget his name, and Skylar Miner, we interviewed them. And they were good. They passed everything. And then there's two jailers that want to hit the streets. They want to go through the academy. Hmm. So we approved of them. I do believe they did. I shouldn't say that right up. But they made it sound like they were going to hire everybody that we interviewed.
Good.
So, yeah.
Good.
So, yeah, it was interesting.
Thank you.
Yeah, so, okay. Yeah, that took place, and I think that's it.
All right. Janet?
I had NCRD, Conservation District, and we did set a date for household hazardous waste collection will be in Jackson on October, it's Friday, October 7th, I think it's a Friday night, 3 to 6 in Jackson. And then also, there's an electronic one later this month, I think it's the 25th,
May 24th.
Let's see.
Is that the
I got that one on my calendar. I'm going to find it on my calendar.
That might be a Wednesday, the 25th.
May. Okay. I got it on my calendar, too. 25th.
I got a poster out there.
26th.
So is it just for the people of Jackson Thursday. Or the people of the county?
No, county.
Okay.
County, yeah. Actually, it's, yeah.
So they can bring in?
Paint, pesticides,
okay.
That sort of thing.
That'd be at Legion Hall?
I think we're going to do it in the baseball because there's gravel, so if some of it spills, it'll go through in the baseball. Yeah, parking lot. But yeah, those
fluorescent
are.
Bulbs.
What?
Will they take fluorescent light bulbs?
I don't know. I think they did last time. The last time we did it, they do a crusher and they. I can verify that though. I'm not sure. Last time we did a household hazard.
And that's in October. Okay.
October 7th. I'll find out more, but we'll have a poster out by then.
I appreciate it. I know several people that have got them.
Yeah, it's nice to get rid of that stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anything else, Janet?
Nope.
Okay.
Sorry.
Larry, anything?
Oh, the pipeline business there at the board meeting over at Ryan's going. And the regulations, and I know they're going to be more stringent than what he was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, depth of cover and depth of barrier and stuff like that. And we got to come up with a solution as a board as to when they cross the right of way.
Mm-hmm.
The depths are going to be in there, but as far as revenue, the county for future damage and for the roadway ditches and erosion. And I don't know. Then
we have a plan set up. I do believe Jolene must have left, and maybe Joe knows, but we do have something set up for right of way usage, don't we? For money.
There's a right of way permit.
Yeah.
But do we charge for the crossing? Like the state railroad.
I don't remember.
I'll get you a copy of that.
The railroad pays every year to, or you pay the railroad every year.
Right.
They don't pay nothing.
Right.
If you cross that right away, you have to pay. You
know, but that was just set up several years back, as before there was no.
We got to get it to something so we get that we get compensated for any road damages in the future. Now, maybe it's something, but now I see Avenue by. Halfway between Dakota City and the entrance to Tyson.
Pretty good little dip.
Uh-huh. It's getting worse all the time.
Oh, yeah.
So I just talked to Jolene about that road.
Yeah,
what'd you say?
Every day I come to work, it's getting to the point if you have a low riding car, you're here by now.
It's getting worse.
Yeah.
It's settling pretty good.
On C Avenue, I think it was, don't quote me, but Mid-America went through there and did something. And anyways, the roads, and it's closer towards Dakota City, but it sunk good. I was ripping down through there 150 mile an hour in my car, and I hit about 80.
You dare more.
I hit it at 80 mile an hour. It was interesting.
See what he said?
I did.
That's illegal.
That's
huh?
Illegal.
You want to go for a ride with me?
Speed limit. Speed limit 85 there, isn't it?
I don't care. don't know, whatever.
But anyway, what it
anything
was,
else, Larry?
What it was, it's a storm sewer.
Let's get back here.
They put in a storm sewer. I'm certain it goes clear up to the avenue. And I don't, might have a hole in or a bad joint or something. Then they also ran a gas line, Tyson's did, from the plant, the methane, up to the plant. There were two pipelines in, I'm positive of it. I know there's one of them anyway. I think it's the storm sewer. They I think they ought to be contacted and tell them to correct the problem. Because it's a bad pipe and it keeps sinking.
Causes that.
You know what I mean? It's no good for us.
Okay.
Yeah, it's no good for us to go back and
fill it.
And tear the paving out and replace it, and then 5 years from now I'll have to do the same thing.
Anything else, Larry?
Nope.
Troy?
I had a North Star Region 4 meeting. It was last Thursday in Norfolk. Thursday before last in Norfolk. But anyway, they just talked about some funding problems coming up with the state, possibility of a lot less money, and some building. They were thinking about building a couple places, but I think with the price of building materials and everything that's going on, I think they're going to try not to build, maybe just buy a house in O'Neill that they can kind of make work for now. And that's it.
Okay. Joan, did you have anything? No? All right. Mail and or emergency business. We have City of South Sioux Property Tax Administrator Redevelopment Plan Report, which you all should have for your information. Just gives a brief summary of all those projects.
TIF projects.
So when do we know when some of these come off or not?
Yes.
2050.
So the West 25th and 39th, it looks like it's only got a couple of years left on it. Is that right?
You can verify that. It should be.
Christy has all that information also, if you ever want to know when they come off.
I have it written down, too.
Joan has it, too.
Yeah. Okay.
And not bashing the city too much, but this is the thing. They can come off, and they can turn around and put it right back on it. And they have. So I wouldn't get anybody's hopes up of saying when they come off, because they tipped that area for a reason, because of not just maybe one business, maybe of other things that are going to happen to them.
So. They have to have a project, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then one other piece of came in the mail late Friday. I didn't see it. To review a copy of the draft 2022 Missouri River Northeast Community Wildlife Protection Plan. Anyway, the book's here if anybody wants to look at it or review it. They would like your comments by May 27th.
Community Wildfire Protection Plan sounds like it should go to the fire department.
Yeah.
Well,
or the rural fire department.
Deanna helped work on it, I think, and stuff. Mm-hmm. So they've got the plan put together. They put it out for review. So it's in my office if anybody wants to look at it.
And I, you know, I've never seen anything like that, but I'm sure because of the dryness.
Yeah.
You see them out and about a lot right now, putting out. A lot of them are controlled, though, what's going on right now.
Yeah, well, over here in the corner, they were burning right out in the west parking lot today.
Was it?
Brush pile. It was.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to go then back to item E. Is a closed session for purpose of reviewing proposed changes to the sheriff and jail FOP 49 union contracts. So
I will make a motion to go into closed session.
A second.
Motion by Scott, seconded by Troy, and I'm going to use the restroom before
you need to state the reason.
Yeah,
anybody take roll call.
Do what?
You have to say it twice.
Oh, I do?
Yeah.
For the purpose. Okay. So the closed session is for reviewing, the purpose of reviewing proposed changes to the sheriff and jail FOP 49 union contracts.
And I'll be right back.
Scott, I got one meeting to give this to you.
Okay, I'll take roll.
Thank you.
Are we outside the door?
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
What's the news guy doing here anyway? Who's he with?
Maybe it was the pipelines, since we have two pipelines on the list.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I can think of.
What time is it? I have to write down.
It is 4:56.
4:56.
4:56. Let me check the report.
Get the recorder on here. I'll make a motion to come out of closed session.
I'll second that.
Yeah, I was going to tell Joan to call roll. I forgot that I'm not in charge.
Joan. Joan, you call the roll.
What's the time?
It is.
Oh, that's funny.
5:08.
5:08. Okay. Roll call is Larry.
Yes.
Troy.
Yes.
Robert.
Yes.
Scott.
Yes.
And Janet.
Yes.
Okay.
So, do we need to address anything else? There wasn't anything for us to address or sign, Mandy, so just FYI.
I think that that project that Lance is talking about...
There's any action taken after an open session.
Yeah, there's no action. There's no action.
He might have something else in mind.
Because we got nothing.
Yeah. You know, he's slick.
Oh, yeah, he's slicker than slick. And do you,
all right,
do
we well, you know, this need a motion to adjourn?
This from the little area that
we are adjourned.
Yeah. Which is fine.
Yeah.
Which is fine. But
thank
at
you,
the same time, yeah, there's a benefit for them.
See, that'll get tested.